Blog Talk Radio.
Now I want everybody to clap your hands in this place.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, we want to bring to you Memphis' own. The world's been waiting on it, and now the wait is finally over. Chantel,
trouble in my way.
Of the Lord, I've been free,
delivered,
and in your presence, Lord.
To the nastiness, I won't go back to the pain and hurt, I won't go back to the vomit, I won't go back to any place that God has delivered me from. Amen. Glory to God. Welcome to True Vine International Ministries. I am sitting in for the host, Pastor Lona Waters. Amen. And I'll be your guest speaker this evening, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. Amen. Glory to God. We just thank Pastor Lona Waters for this opportunity to go before the throne room on her platform. Amen. Glory to God. We just pray that God is keeping her in his perfect peace and keeping her in his care, and everything is all well with her. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for another day. We're going to open with a prayer. Amen. And we're going to go into our lesson for today. We won't be long. Amen. Glory to God. So we thank you. We just want to say, you know, I just want to pray to the Lord. Amen. Just day by day, I just want to say thank you, Lord. Thanks be to our Father. Thanks be to our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to the Holy One for all the benefits which you have given us, for all the pains and insults which you have borne for us. And most merciful Redeemer, my friend, my brother, my father, my everything, may we know you more clearly. And may I love you, and may we love you more dearly and follow you more nearly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your keeping power day by day. Yes, God, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. How many know that there is a price to pay for your calling? There is a price to pay to be who God called you to be and do it honorably. Amen. It's almost like a athlete who wants to be the best. They have to practice. They have to sacrifice. They have to suffer. People who own businesses, they have to sacrifice, and they have to just some things they can't do. But even when serving the Lord, and we're going to talk about two different individuals, not individual people, but two individual characteristic of people. Amen. And I just, if you wanted to title this, I was just going to title, Are You Willing to Pay the Price? Amen. Are you willing to pay the price? Do you? And what I mean by that, you know, every time we start our name off with that title, and every time we introduce someone and say, I am so-and-so, so-and-so, I am bishop this, I am apostle this, I am chief apostle this, I am whatever title, you know, we throw them titles out, we bring them forth, and we speak them. And I'm not saying that God didn't call you to be who you say you are, and I'm not saying you're not who you are. But what I am saying to those who are up under you, and those who see you walking upright, and those who know that you are who God called you to be and who you say you are, there's a certain respect. There's a certain honor that beholds that, because not only are you that person, but there's some things that God has done to put you in that position. And God has even sent you out into the wilderness. Go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 10. And I'm going to start at verse 16. Amen. And we're going to read this. Please have your Bibles. Please take notes. Amen. Praise God. I mean, I just believe that this is the best information we can have, not because I'm saying it or not because I'm delivering it, but because it's the word of God. And to me, that's the best information and the best wisdom. And one of the greatest things I'm learning about the Bible, I have read it and read this. I don't call them stories no more. I call it information. I have read it and went through it, and, you know, different places I've went and different information I seek, but there's nothing like doing it on a daily, like feeding yourself daily. It's like you eat your breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Oh, if you just give up two of those meals, and in the time you eat lunch, that half hour, that hour, you get, read the word. that dinner, that half hour meal or whatever meal you give it up for about maybe 6 days, and just read the word. Get that breakfast, but get those other two up. Or if you can't get them two up, get a breakfast. Just sacrifice and get that word. Substitute. It's just like substituting white sugar for brown sugar. Substitute it all for the word. That's the best sugar. That's the sweetest sugar you're going to get. It's sweeter than any honeydew. It's sweeter than any melon. It's juicier than any peach. It's, oh, my God, it will make you stronger than any nut in the world. Just think about it and think about gobbling up on the word. Amen. Glory to God. Behold, I send you as sheep in the midst of wolves. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak. For I will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but of your Father who speaks in you. Isn't that amazing? God is letting us know that, or those that are, because to be honest, I think this statement was directed to the apostles. I think they were the ones being sent as sheep among wolves. And that's why I say their calling was so dangerous. But to avoid being deceived by evil, they were to live in humility. And by living into humility is the way that God was able to come in, speak for you, guide them, talk to them, live in them. The Spirit, it says, you know, don't worry about what you should speak. Don't worry, for it will be given to you in that hour. He set a time. It's already prepared. You're already prepped. It's already going to be there in that hour what you should say. For it is not you who will speak. So you already have to be in tune with the God in you. You have to be so obedient and so refreshed and so in tune that soon as you, whatever you may be doing in that hour, as soon as the Holy Spirit speaks, you know it's him. And then there's a surrendering within you. Amen. Because anyone familiar with sheep herding, you know, when they put the sheep dog out there and they had the dog herd of all together in one place, they understand the danger of wolves. There's wolves up in the wilderness looking out there. They're creeping around. They're always there. And the sheep has no defense alone against the wolf. But if God is sending you out as sheep amongst the wolves, you have no defense alone. But with God, we have the best defense there is. With God, you are defended, you are watched over, you are cared for, you are guided. But now, for that all those things to be effective, not only have to live in humility, but you also have to live in a gentleness spirit. You have to walk in integrity amongst all those people who you minister to. Because you got to understand, they are your sheep. They are watching you in the congregation. They're watching you when you're shopping. They're watching how you speak, how you carry yourself. Do you abuse them verbally? Do you take your title or your power and abuse it in the church? We have to, those of you that are apostles, you should be walking in humility, gentleness, and an integrity. Amen? Because Jesus' warning is to be watchful, to be wary,
and wise, because there are going to be those who come among them to do them harm. There's going to be those that come amongst your sheep to do them harm. There's going to be those that are disguised as sheep, but they're in wolf clothing to do your sheep harm. That's why the shepherd has to be a seer, has to be able to discern, has to be able to know. Say, my sheep know my voice when they hear me. Shepherds. It is not just a title. It is not just coming into church and preaching the gospel and teaching the gospel and telling everybody what to do. We have to be so keen to the Spirit of God. Have to be so keen to the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. I applaud those that are apostles, those that God has put that calling on. I applaud you, especially if you're walking upright and you're obedient to God and you're doing just what God say do, the way he says do it. Because guess what? There's souls attached to you. There's souls attached to you and how you behave. There are people watching and waiting for deliverance. Amen. Oh my God. Just think about it. Like when Jesus was empowered, his disciples, and he had given specific instructions to them, and they were to preach, they were to heal the sick, they were to proclaim the kingdom of God, but they must take care because he was sending them out into the world, ruled by Satan. The world, the places that God is sending us and sending you guys are ruled by Satan. There's all kind of deception. There's all kind of lies and murder and craftiness and foolishness. Amen? It was so dangerous when he sent them out, because if they were going to thrive, then guess what happens? They must become a certain type of person. You must become a certain type of person, a type of person who is like Christ himself, innocent, humble, shrewd in a sense, because they were to be innocent, or as some may say, practice gentleness, a fruit of the Spirit, as Galatians said. They were to commit no evil. They were to love everyone. But lest they think loving their enemies meant something that it did not. They were to be shrewd or wise. They were to understand like the master that humans are flawed and not to be trusted until they have proven trustworthy. Ain't that something? If I'm, okay, and I'm not picking on any group of people, but just think about a person. Okay, I'll use me for example. When I was in my addiction, when I was just doing all kinds of thievery and just stealing and stealing and stealing, and then somebody let me back in a house, but how can I get mad if they told me to clap my hands when I'm in a different room, so they know my hands is clapping, I ain't putting nothing in my pocket. So in other words, until I proved myself trustworthy, I wasn't allowed in the home. I wasn't allowed around anything of value. Nobody trusted me. You understand? We have to prove ourselves. They have to prove themselves to you trustworthy, because they can't. Okay, if you're an apostle, someone comes and proclaim that they're your gatekeeper, or they come into church and before you know it, you done made them a deacon, or you done put them in charge of ministry, but they're not trustworthy. They had a hidden agenda, and because you wasn't seeing right and knowing right and discerning and living right, they just came in and destroyed the church. They came in and took over your church. You ever hear a pastor saying, I don't know what happened? the church was going good, and we put sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so, and all of a sudden I came back from vacation, the church was scattered. How is that to be? Amen. You have to have a discerning of the heart. And I was reading some in the book of John, I think it's chapter 22, around chapter 2, around verse 22 and 23. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. We got to stop looking at these pretty smiles and this good-looking hair and these Louis Vuittons and Tui Vuittons and these red shoes, blue bottom, black bottom, all these bottoms and all these fancy cars, and look at the heart. So many people are being deceived. So many people are getting, like the world say, hoodwinked, bamboozled. Amen? We got to come out of that. Because even in still applies, even a little bit much more now than it was in the first century, because Christ entrusted himself to no man because he knew what was in the heart of man, but he gave himself freely. He gave of himself free, but he knew what was in him, but he knew who he was. He was on assignment. He knew what he was called to do, but he watched. He was not fooled. He was so shrewd when the religious leaders, with the religious leaders, his own disciples, or even with Satan himself, tried to sway him from his course. How many people have tried to sway you away from your assignment? How many people has really tried to tell you, oh, there's no real God. Oh, won't you be Jehovah's Witness? Come over here and see how we do it. A Catholic or Buddha. Buddha gonna bring you some blessings that you've never heard. Oh, let me see your palm. Oh, let me tell you what you got. Listen. We have to be so careful. The enemy is cunning, sneaky. Every move you make and looking for your weak spots. That's why you have to be humble, gentle, and you have to be open to the Spirit of God, knowing his voice, hearing his voice. They tried to get Jesus off his course, but Jesus was still gentle with the sinners and those who needed to know the love of God. He was still gentle with them. Man, that is the kind of thing that we should be trying to imitate. It's even though everybody's trying to get you off course, those souls should still be the focus. Those souls should still be the things that we are focused on. Amen. And I just want to try to break this down in a few key parts, if I can. I'm not proclaiming to be a scholar or none of those things, but I love the word of God. You people that are called with these apostle titles, I often say, oh, my God, you know, I tell people, man, we ought to pray for the apostles. We ought to pray for the bishops, man, because there's such a calling. There's such a – listen, do you know when apostles go into a church or a city or a building, they come for two reasons: to bring a word of God, and to bring correction. It was like in old days when the prophets came. Oh, my God, everybody got scared. Because we got to get back to trusting and believing in the God in the individual. Stop looking at the individual and look who God has called them to be. Look at the God in them. Are they walking upright? Are they living a Christian lifestyle? When you see them, are they humble? Are they gentle? Are they loving? Do they always be showing characteristics of Jesus? Not to say they are perfect, but they're walking upright, and you see God in them. You hear God in them. And if you have a congregation should respect the part of you that suffers, that's always out. You praying off demons off of other people. And if there's no one there around you to block those spirits from transferring to you, where is your gatekeepers? Where is your deacons and your ministers? And it is so much with this. The preacher, the pastor is preaching and teaching, and demons and spirits are flying all over the place. But who is seeing in the spirit to keep? Oh my God, hallelujah! Make sure that the head is being protected. That is God sent the head, the shepherd for the flock. It is our job to make sure that the shepherd is fine, is taken care of, protected in the spirit, and respected in the natural. Hallelujah. The first thing I want to say is the first words say, I am sending you out. This is in regard to a particular mission, a particular assignment. This is in regards to an assignment that was given. But Christians should understand themselves as also sent people. We have to understand that we are sent daily. When you're in a supermarket, in that line, are you discerning the need of the person in front of you? Are you discerning how the day of the cashier who's been bombarded with all these different personalities and people just cussing them and this and that? Are you discerning? Are you asking God for kind words to speak over this person's life? If the person in front of you is short or left their wallet, are you just voluntarily paying for the groceries? Or are you discerning and knowing what's going on around you? Are you seeing spirits and feeling spirits that's not of God and praying them down out the atmosphere? Are you at your job and walking through the where you eat lunch at and whatever your office or whatever kind of job you got? Are you walking around when you get through the door, when you get up in the morning, say, Father, use me to bring joy to my place of work. Use me to kill the sadness, to kill the deadness. Use me to be a light today, Lord. Use me for whatever problems going on. Use me. Give me kind words to set the atmosphere differently if it needs to be set. Do we call on God to show us how to set the wrong right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Christians should understand that we are sent people. That great commission is not just a commission. Jesus' last words to his disciples on earth proves his intention was that the church would continue his earthly ministry. The church that's in you, not the building that you go in, the church that is in you. What kind of ministry is in you? What kind of church is built up in you? Who is leading the church inside of you? Who is directing the church inside of you? Who is setting the path inside of you? Who is speaking inside of you? What are you hearing? What are you listening to? Not only in the spirit, but when you're in your home, what are you listening to? What are you watching on TV? Are you being nosy? Are you always in some gossip? Are you always into something that has nothing to do with God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The church will continue his earthly ministry. And that is only empowered by his Holy Spirit. Matthew 28:18-20. Amen. So whether you are called to be a missionary in a foreign land or in your own home or you're in your own hometown or in your city or in your, Or or you are a disciple who is sent out every day for ministry. Outreach, which means reach out. Reach out to those who don't know Christ. Reach out to those who may be backslidden. Reach out and let the Spirit of God do the work. If you're not, how can we bring souls in if we're not doing outreach? If we're not going out knowing the needs of the people? You know, not judging, oh, they need mental health. Oh, they need a rehab. Oh, they need to stop drinking. Oh, she need to come off that pole. Oh, she need to put on some better clothes. Oh, she need to stop stripping. Oh, she need to stop being a prostitute. He need to stop gambling. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. We need to be humble, loving, and kind. And they need to be able to receive, thus saith the Lord. And that comes by the way we approach people. If God has made you a disciple to go out, Father God, how do I go out today? Gird my tongue, touch my heart, free up my mind so I only can hear the things of you. Let my heart be loving such as you. Let my words be kind and healing and delivering. Let it be impacted and empowered by you. Show me, Father God. I'm only a man, but I know that you called me, and I know that I am here to be used by you. So here I be, Father. Take away everything that's hindering me from growing and going. Hinder me, everything that's hindering me from growing and going, take it away, Father. Hallelujah. We have to understand that God loves us. He called us. He chose us. He wants to use us. We have to understand our calling. Know who you are. Walk in the ways of Christ. Like the second part of that was sending you out like sheep amongst wolves. People as sheep is like a common, metaphor throughout the Old and New Testament. Believers are the sheep of his pasture. Matter of fact, I want to back this up just for a second. Go with me to the book of Psalms. Hallelujah. We're going to just read a little bit. We're just going to read a little bit because we're going to stay on point here. The book of Psalms, chapter 100 for 1 second. I just want to read verse 1, 2, 3, and I'm going to stop at 3. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all your lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Hallelujah. Can't make it no plainer than that. Hallelujah. We are the sheep of his pasture. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We can't make it. The word of God is just turning me upside down with amazement. And it's a joy that I can't even explain. It's almost like you ever drink ice water when you first drink it, you get the whoo, that chill. It's an amazement. It doesn't chill me. It just go all through you, and you feel that it's God teaching. You feel that it's God's loving. You feel that it is his instructions. You feel that it is his guidance, and he's showing you the way. He's telling you what to do and what not to do. He's telling you what you should be doing and what you shouldn't be doing, how to speak, not to speak, how to behave, not to behave. Leave that alone. That's not for you. That's not yours. Why you mess with it? That? Don't be leaving. He teaches everything we need to know is in there. Jesus is the good shepherd, John said in chapter 10, verse 11. And the chief shepherd, anyone familiar with sheep herding, anybody, we understand, we talked about this. It is such a dangerous job. It is such a dangerous job. Because the sheep has no defense alone against a wolf. So if God is sending you out as sheep alone, you have no help. You have no defense. You're headed for the slaughter. Amen. But Jesus' warning is to be watchful, to be wary and wise, because there will be those who are amongst you. They are amongst you, and they are amongst your congregation. They are amongst your sheep. They are amongst your church to do them harm. So do not be surprised or caught off guard. Hallelujah. Listen, the Lord is telling us, he's showing us that he loves us. He's showing us with that illustration itself, that I will send you out amongst the wolves and you will be helpless by yourself. That lets me know that God said, if you just hold on to me, though, if you let me lead, if I'm the one speaking, listen, that don't worry what you would say. Don't worry what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour. It's just don't worry about what you don't have, because it will be given to you in that hour. Don't worry about how weak you feel. Strength will be given to you in that hour. Don't worry about your lack. Prosperity will be given to you in that hour. Don't worry about what the world is doing. I came to give you the world. I came to use you to correct the things of the world. Don't worry about anything, because whatever is broken, God will fix it in that hour. When the Spirit of the Lord is upon my heart, we'll be right back. Hallelujah.
That's right, that's right. Put those hands together all over this place. Yeah. We come to praise him, we come to praise him and lift him up. Because he's worthy to be praised.
Take it up. That's right.
Hallelujah. I was then. You know, I listened to that song, and I can almost picture back then. Well, it don't have to be back then, but that's how I was pitching. It could be right now when you hear that and you dance like David danced, praise like David praise, and just put your own name in there, praise like Matthew praise, dance like Matthew. You got to put your own relationship in there, your own flavor with you, your relationship with God. How do you really want to dance before the Lord? How do you really want to praise the Lord? How do you really want to thank him on a daily basis? Can you just, I just the songs, I just want to do it like David did. He did it with such passion and such honesty and truthful that he danced out his clothes. Can you really just praise him till you just wig just fall off? You don't worry about it. And it just seemed like, no, you don't care who's watching. And you just, oh my God, praising him and worshiping him all through the day. Oh my God, can you imagine how joyful the Lord would be? Can you imagine how he'd be sitting up in the heavenly, look at my child praising me without any interruption, without any care in the world, even if things ain't going right in his life. Look at him praising me. Hallelujah. Oh, you got to. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The third thing I want to talk about is the third little verse. The next, therefore be as shrewd as snakes. Hallelujah. Let me make sure I'm on my text. Make sure I stay at my text since I won't come off. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We're going to talk about the snake, because even since the Garden of Eden, the serpent has been considered evil. But here he is held up for his shrewdness, because Jesus says for them to avoid or combat the wolves, they will need to be just as shrewd. Today, Christians must rely on prayer, study of the word, fellowship, and standing on the rock of truth. Evaluate and deal with what Satan and the world throws against the church. As the church advances on the gates of hell. Can you imagine that? We must rely on prayer. We must study of the word, not just study, but of the word. We must fellowship one with another. We can't be, I'm not going over his church. I don't like him anyway. And that lady on the choir thinks she all, and you ever see the gentleman? We ain't got, listen, that is not of God. That's just a lot of confusion. How do we allow all that stuff to fester up in us when it's time to fellowship, when it's time to be around other Christians, other soul savers, other believers? How can we just allow the enemy to tell you don't want to be around them because of the color they skin or what they have or what they don't have? You and I. They're trying to push the gospel. We're trying to press forward. They're trying to save souls, bring more souls to the kingdom. But we don't like them because they hat bigger than ours. Or she wore that same hat last Sunday, but she ain't got no hats. What kind of nonsense is that? Why is your mindset even on her hat? If you got to worry about the thing that's on her head, then go to the store, ask the Lord to show you what kind of hat is appropriate for her, and buy it. Don't be judgmental. If there seems to be a problem, go to the Lord and ask the Lord how to fix it. I don't want to go over there because they keyboard player used to be here. Now he think, you think I'm going to sit over there and shout with them? Are you losing your relationship with God because you allow the enemy to make you think that it's about the keyboard player? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm going to go right to Matthew 16 real quick, and I'm just going to read verse 18. Whew, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We got to get our priorities in order, my brothers and sisters, myself included. Hallelujah. 16:18. And we're going to let the Lord, the Christ, speak. Amen. But I'm going to start at 17. Jesus, I got to start all the way at 16. Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." We're on God's time. God has us. We as Christians should not be on a battlefield against each other. We got enough going on with Satan playing with your mind, playing tricks on your mind, messing with your bank account, messing with your marriage, messing with your job, messing with your health, messing with everything else. But we going to sit and have a battlefield with each other? That's not where we should be having a battle at. Come on, y'all. Hallelujah. Come on. It's time for us to, like, get to the point where we repent of a whole lot of things, ask for forgiveness of a whole lot of things, go to the altar with it, and even confess I got aught with my brother and sister in front of everybody to fix, because we got to get correct with God, not with nobody else. I don't do the things I do for man, my wife, my kids, my grandchildren, my family. I do it to be correct with God. Because how can I be a successful husband, businessman, or anything else if I'm not led by the right spirits, if I'm not getting the right guidance, if I'm not taking in the right information, if my behavior it's not of God? And I'm not saying my behavior is always of God or I'm always so godly and holy. Now, no, I'm not saying that. But I better check myself before my Father wrecked me. I don't want to kill myself. I'm not suicidal. I rebuke that spirit right now. So why is I'm trying to wreck my own life? Stop letting people around you make you feel like you're less than. Always making you sick and always making you feel like you're stressed, blood pressure done shot so high, you starting to look like a tomato in the face, and you darker than Wesley Snipes. Because you stop allowing people to alter the goodness that God is giving you every day he wakes us up. Hallelujah. Our fourth thing is innocent as a dove. I'm not trying, listen, before I get into that, I'm not trying to bash people or put people down, because I speak of myself before I speak of anybody. But there is some things that we need to stop allowing to happen in our lives, in our homes, in our hearts, in our minds that has nothing to do with Satan. It has everything to do with the people around you. It has everything with the people that you associate with. Anytime you can allow people to let you, your blood pressure shoot through the roof, make you don't want to eat, I ain't doing nothing today. Now you're in a place of depression. Now you're starving yourself. And it made you bitter to the point that you almost cuss. And to some people, you go out and take a drink. We don't keep it real. Go out in the back and smoke the Newports that you had stashed up under the rock that you say you wasn't smoking nowhere anyway, so why are they up under the rock? But that's another story. But we got to understand everything ain't coming from Satan. Sometimes a lot of that stuff coming from the people that allow Satan in them, and then we accept it. Amen. Number four, like I said, I wasn't going to be with you long. Hallelujah, glory to God. Number four, in our minds, we are to be shrewd. In our actions, we must remain innocent. No amount of worldly or supernatural wisdom should give us justification for sin and disobedience to God. Because guess what? Adam and Eve may have sought to be as shrewd as the serpent, but they should have remained innocent as does. Sometimes, you know, you can get cocky, you can get strong, you can get bold, you can say some things and pick up some things and pick up rocks and knock holes in your walls, but you got to be humble. You got to be meek. You got to chill. You can't be shrewd as the serpent. You have to remain innocent as the dove. Be like Jesus. Don't let them see you sweat. It didn't even move you. Amen. Glory to God. Father God, right now in the atmosphere, there's a fool acting like a fool. I ask you to come down right now and bind that foolishness up, get it out my house, and bring my peace back unto me. Hey, those are just simple prayers that is so possible if we trust and believe in the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. We have to remain innocent as doves and obey God. We have to trust his commands and his righteousness rather than our own shrewdness, our own strength, our own wisdom, our own negativity. We have to trust God. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his mighty name on this evening, God. We love you. We praise you. Hallelujah. I'm going to read one scripture and we're going to close. And we're going to pray, but I just want to read this scripture. And it's just to remind us about who God say we are. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, man, I wish I... Okay. In the book of Luke, chapter 10, I'm just going to start at verse 1, and I'm just going to read all the way down to verse 12. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among the wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, or sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say peace to the house, to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you and remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Heal your home and say, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Heal your body and say, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Heal your finance situation and say, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Heal your health and say, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Each and every situation in your life, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, the very dust of your city, which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day of Sodom than for the city. You know, I often think about that one little verse when they say, go into its streets and say the very dust of your city. When people start putting their dirt and filth on you, you speak it. Get this filth off of me. I will not receive this. So make it, listen, make it filthy like it is. When they come with a negative attitude, speak against the filth. Kick it off your feet. When they come with the confusion and all the tricks and trickery, remember, we just got finished reading that they come to destroy. They come and they dangerous not only to you, but to your sheep. They will try to destroy everything that God has put in you. You have to remain humble, gentle, loving, and kind. God already told you, don't worry about what to say. Don't worry about nothing. Because the sheep by himself is so dangerous to the wolf. Oh, but when the shepherd, not the high shepherd, when he is out, the enemy doesn't even show up. Amen. The enemy won't even show up. So with that being said, I thank every listener. I thank all our supporters. We bless the atmosphere that the Lord has given us on this evening. We bless the time that he has allowed us to have this evening. I bless the fellowship that he allowed us to come together to fellowship his word and do the bidding of him and his will. Amen. Because these, to me, is an assignment. I could sit in this studio, but as long as I'm doing the will of the Lord, as long as I'm hearing from the Lord, and long as I know that we are putting an effort, that we are moving forward, that we are blocking out the darkness of the enemy, that we are just separating ourselves from the world. We're separating ourselves from things that is not like God. And if you want to know what's like God, read the Bible. If you want to know what's not like God, read the Bible. The Beatitudes is there. The curses are there. The blessings are there. The understanding, the wisdom, the prayers of healing, the prayers of deliverance are there. There's no excuse. I say it and I say it. When you eat your three meals a day, or how many you may eat, sacrifice a few of them. Fill up your body and your mind. Fill your spirit with things of God. Your flesh will get weak. Your spirit will get strong. Your flesh will get weak. Your spirit will get strong. Your flesh will get weak. Your spirit will get strong. So all those fleshly desires will end up dying, and all that spiritual strength will be used for the glory of God and the building of his kingdom. Amen. Shout out to my wife, my queen, my treasure, my best friend. I'm doing the mighty, mighty work of God. And all the way she's having a conference, all the way up in Oregon somewhere. But she's doing the work. She's not afraid of new territory. She's obedient to where God sends her to go to do what she must do for the building of the kingdom. Because, you know, I tell her, if one person only comes, you preach that one person and teach that one person whatever God gave you, because that's the one that God gave you. As a shepherd, whatever sheep you get, be acceptable and love on that sheep. You know, I'm going to say this before I pray out. I always remember this. And anybody who was ever called the black sheep of their family, or if you can go through the world and see where they at now, oh, God has raised them up. He didn't care about them being called the black sheep by their mother, their father, their uncle, whatever names they was called by in the street, because now we belong to him. Oh, my God. And your sheep hairs is as white as snow, pure as the holy snow. He got his hands around you. Now you rest in his bosom. Nothing, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Got to remember that. Get that scripture. Get those scriptures and speak them. You know when heartache is coming your way. You can tell when tragedy is coming your way. You know when foolishness is coming your way. People talking out the side of their neck. People just trying to bring you down. Speak those things back to Christ. Father, you said you would never leave me nor forsake me. I need you now. And mean that thing. Don't just say it because they're words. Take it to the throne room with a desire to see change. A passion that says, Lord, I trust you. That's why I'm seeking you. That's why I'm coming to you. I'm trusting you. I can't do it by myself. I've done tried it time after time after time. I am nothing without the power of God. I am nothing without the guidings of God. I am nothing without his hands over me, always keeping me and covering me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for your amazing power and work in our lives, Father. Thank you for your goodness and for your blessings over us, Father. Thank you that you are able to bring hope through even the toughest of times, Father. Thank you for strengthening us. Thank you for strengthening us for your purpose. Thank you for your great love and care, Dad. Thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you that you are always with us and will never leave us. Thank you for your incredible sacrifice so that we might have freedom and life. Forgive us for when we don't thank you enough. Forgive us for our sins and the lack of spending time with you, for who you are, for all that you do for us, for all that you've given. Help. Please, Father, help us to set our eyes and our hearts on you as a refreshing wind. Renew our spirits. Fill us with your peace and joy. We love you and we need you. This day and every day, we give you praise and thanks, for you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. This has been another incredible day that the Lord has given us. And this has been True Vine International Ministry, where the host is Pastor Alona Waters. I am sitting in for her on this day. And we thank you. And we ask the Lord to bless her and keep her in his perfect peace on this day. Until we meet again, until God's will, and whatever he say shall be. And remember, God is everything. Here's our song. Come on, everybody, put your hands together like this. That's it, we're gonna have a good old church. Can I hear the guitar? The guitar, please, come on.
Tomorrow.
Good night.